Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We turn things over to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. It is an honor to have Rob Nyer in today. He is has a new book coming out. We're going to talk about that. But really want to get your take, Rob, on what we watched with the Indians and Astros, and if you were able to catch any of the series, and what were your thoughts on that?
Well, two things that pop out for me, or maybe things that we already knew. One is that the Astros simply are a better team. And I know that can be a bitter pill to swallow if you're an Indians fan, but objectively, according to basically all the metrics, the Astros are not only the better team in that series, but maybe the best team in baseball, top to bottom. This was a team that last year had one of the best hitting attacks in many years. This year, guess what? The hitting was down, but the pitching was one of the best in many, many years. And that's a function. Both seasons are essentially a function of having a tremendously talented, well-run organization. And when you have those things, you are not destined to be great, but you're set up to be great. And they have been both years. And I'm sure you know that the Indians did not fare particularly well outside of their division this season, which was not a good division, obviously. So it really was about the better team winning. That said, oftentimes the better team doesn't win. This series wasn't destined to go the way it went. It did go according to form, but baseball games often go the other way. It just didn't happen this time.
Rob, if you're the Indians and you've tried to roll with really good starting pitching for a number of years and try and make other pieces fit, and certainly some of them have, are you going to continue that for another year, or are you going to think, all right, maybe we tinker with the pitching and try and get more bats in here?
No, you know what? I don't see any real reason to change what they're doing. I mean, they've been in the playoffs consecutively now, and they play in, again, obviously weak division. They're going to be big favorites, I suspect, to win the division again next season. And once you win the division, anything can happen. It's so easy for fans to feel like, well, we got swept. We got to change everything up. We're not just not good enough. Well, you get a little bit better, you get a little bit luckier, and all of a sudden you're in the World Series. It happens all the time. I do think that the Indians probably could stand to invest more, not in players necessarily, although that doesn't usually hurt, but in the front office, in the analytics department. And they have some really smart people working there, but they're frankly outmanned by other organizations, and the Astros being one great example. So I'm sure that the front office would love to have some help, have a few more people crunching the numbers. You just have to get the support financially from ownership. I don't know if they have that now, but I think that if they don't, they need to get it. That's not something that is going to be a big story in the news or, you know, in the blogosphere or whatever, but I think ultimately you're starting off behind a little bit if you don't have a significant presence on the analytics side.
Hey, Rob, can you expand on that a little bit? And let me look, because it's interesting. Mike Clevinger, yesterday's starting pitcher, said in commenting about the game, we were a little bit, I don't know, kind of had our backs against the wall before this started when it came to the analytical side. What's missing? What's missing?
I think it's hard to know specifically what's missing unless you're inside. I just think that it does come down on to some degree to manpower. And in fact, one of the reasons why I called my book Powerball, the main takeaways, I think, at least for most people, will be that baseball has become to a great degree about power pitching and power hitting. And that's obvious. All you have to do is look at the numbers or watch one of these games. But there's also an element of power in the front office. And when you look at the I would argue the two most successful franchises of the last two or three years, they are the Dodgers and the Astros. And both of those franchises have immense analytical departments. And I don't think it's a coincidence. Now, I'm not saying that's the only reason why they've won as many games as they've won, but there's an immense amount of data floating around out there, and some teams have concluded that you've got to throw people at all those numbers. And then ideally what you can do is you can, out of all those numbers, you can create the information that is useful for your players, your coaches, your manager. And I don't mean to suggest that the Indians haven't done that, because I'm not close enough to the situation to say that. I just think that they probably have more numbers, I guess, than they know what to do with, than they have time to deal with. And I would not, again, argue that that's why they lost this series. But it is true that it's simply a fact that the Astros have many more people working on those numbers than the Indians do.
Well, it just seems really weird, because I don't know that I've ever heard that. And this is the organization that, you know, Mark Shapiro was one of the leaders at one point on
that. He birthed the Moneyball, really.
Yeah, with Paul DePodesta. That's just, it's fascinating. Is this the crux of your book then, Powerball Anatomy with the Modern Game, which, by the way, is out today for the first day?
That's right. Yeah. It is one of them, yes. I mean, I think that, again, the three things I focus on, and I probably talk about, I wanted to write 50 essays, basically, about baseball.
Sure.
There are probably more like 25, and they're not formatted as essays, but really that's what comes down to. It's 25 things that I wanted to write about modern baseball, or as I call it in the book, postmodern baseball. But three of the big ones certainly are, again, power hitting, power pitching, and the rise of analytics. And that comes up again and again in the book, because the game I focus on in this book is an Astros-A's game, and of course they best epitomize what's happened on that front since Moneyball came out in 2003.
So if you're the Indians, what do you do for next year? You have some guys who are free agents.
Yep.
And you know, do you want to invest money in a 30-plus Michael Brantley? And do you want to bring back guys in the bullpen who did it for you 2 years ago, Cody Allen, Andrew Miller, who might not have done it for you this year? What do you think?
First of all, I would say, in case I haven't already been clear about this, that I actually have a great deal of faith in the front office. I think Chris Antonetti and Mike Chernoff and their analytics department, they do a great job with the resources that they have. And you look at their record relative to their payroll year in, year out, and this is an outstanding organization. But you're right, it's you're in a tough spot with some of these guys. No, you don't want to invest a great deal of money in players in their 30s, no question. I think obviously you build around Lindor and Ramirez, and it would be very difficult to find two better guys to build around. Those two alone are a solid foundation to build a lineup around. But elsewhere, you look at the guys who played this season, and you're looking at a bunch of guys in there, the early to mid-30s. And those are not good players to build around, at least not long-term. You know, a year or two, sure. But one thing that everybody understands now, or almost everybody, is that you don't want to be paying good players into their mid-30s, because by that point they won't be good anymore. They'll just be hanging on, and that's where you get in trouble. And the pitching staff is tremendous, obviously, the starting pitching. Now you've got to figure out where the at-bats are going to come from. And I think they have a lot of questions to answer, especially as some of the younger players really haven't panned out quite as well as they might have liked. Now, you don't give up on them. At some point, when you have the resources that the Indians have financially, you have to trust that those young players you thought were going to be good a year or two ago will still be good, and many of them will. A lot of times it's just about being patient, and that's a big part of it.
Rob, last question for you, and you know, we all knew you from TV and stuff. What's it like to be the commissioner of the West Coast League right now? I mean, when you walk into Portland and you're there for the Portland Pickles, are they like, "Hey, Mr. Commissioner, what's going on?"
Well, I am pretty friendly with their ownership, so that's fun. I will tell you, it's something that you never know what life's going to hand you. I mean, you don't think when you're a baseball writer for 25 years that you're going to be a commissioner of a league someday.
Right.
It's not even something that occurs to you. And this season, I got to hand out a championship trophy at the end of the season. I got to put on a mascot's costume for an inning and become drenched in sweat, which is exactly what you would think.
Right.
I got to throw out a couple of first pitches, which I've never gotten to do before. I got to make the all-star teams. I mean, all these things that you just sort of, from the you watch other people doing, and you wonder if you could ever do it. I got to make the schedule for next season. And these things just kept happening, and I just sort of, there's a part of me that's detached thinking, what are you doing? How did this even happen?
Right.
So it'll be interesting next season, assuming that I remain commissioner, to see how all those things feel. Maybe it'll just turn into business as usual. But to this point, it's been an amazing experience, and I couldn't be happier about it.
All right, Rob, when you're ready to go to the big leagues, let us know. We'll support you. You can start your campaign.
We're all holding
trailer.
Out hope here. We can use some new shoes.
Hey, Rob, before we let you go, how can folks get Powerball Anatomy of the Anatomy of a Modern Baseball Game?
As far as I know, it's in all the bookstores today. Obviously, Amazon has it, including the audio version, which I actually read. That was an interesting experience. I can talk about that for a while. 10 hours of me for people who can't get enough. And for anybody who doesn't care for Amazon, IndieBound is a great resource that you can have the book delivered to your favorite independent bookstore within a few days.
Very cool. Rob, thank you. We appreciate your time and breaking down some of the stuff that we've been talking about with the Indians as well. So
my pleasure. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Rob.
Thank
Good
you,
luck.
Rob.
Mr. Commissioner, I should say. Good luck, Mr. Commissioner.
Take
thank
care.
You. And, of course, he was on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.